Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says, the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, that shall come to pass in the latter days, in the last days. This is a paraphrasing of what was in Joel, because in Joel it did not say the last days, but Peter said in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Now, this whole thing, we can even add verse 18, which says that, and on my maid servants and men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, we are living in an interesting time where we are called upon to not ignore the voice of the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit, and what it is that the Spirit is telling us. And one of the ways, the very, very important ways that you can avoid almost every catastrophe in your life is by simply heeding your dreams. Simply heeding your dreams. Because in your dreams communicate so many things. And we are going to get back to that basic. It really is a basic. But your dreams communicate so many things. And if you were to actually heed them and take them seriously, they would become a major factor in determining whether to do this or the other or this. And you don't walk in darkness, just through dreams. And the idea is to bring your dreams, to make them, first of all, more frequent, and then to make them see over, to come over, simple, the most simplistic things, where something which is very simple, which does not have any big repercussion, you still dream about it. I remember the other day I went to sleep. It was evening and I was kind of sleepy. I don't know why. So I went to sleep, but I wanted to watch a match. I wanted to watch a football match. Yeah, I thought the football match starts at 7:30. You know, there's that time when the time shifts by 1 hour. So I thought the football match starts at 7:30. So I went to sleep in my mind saying I'm going to wake up at 7:30 and watch the match. So I went into a deep sleep. And then I dreamt when I was back, what I used to do sports journalism, where I would be doing, you know, I had a show on TV where I would be with some lads and we are talking about, you know, the sport of the week. We used to call it Sport On. Then went to that was WBS, then went to NBS and it was called Home and Away. So I had a dream when I was arriving at the show, and I was late, and the intro was already playing. And all my friends had sat and the intro was playing. And I came rushing and I had to put on a shirt because we used to put on branded shirts. So I had to put on a shirt just before the program starts. And the intro is starting immediately. We are going there. So I was just in time. As soon as I finished putting on the shirt, then we were live on air. Then I woke up. I said, now what's that? I mean, this is so many years ago. Why am I dreaming this? Anyway, I woke up. It was 8. I'd missed 30 minutes of the game. So I said, let me just take a shower and I'll watch the second half. So I took a shower and I went and I sat on the TV at 8:30 and the game was just beginning. And that's what the dream meant. As soon as I switched on the TV, they kicked off at the center. And that's why now that is something so small. But you see the dreams come like where it's telling me, wake up, you're missing a match. And even gives me allowance to go and bathe and what? Then I now when I saw that, I said, now this is interesting, because, and there have been others which are very, very minor. Like the other day, I dreamt when a bird had pooped on my car. Then I woke up in the morning and a bird had what? Then I said, now they actually still even on. The things are still on. Now, the purpose of this is every aspect of your life can be, you're not supposed to be, you see, this is what the last days. Nothing is supposed to take you by surprise. By the way, nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, if we learn how to heed every bit of our dreams and take it seriously. Now, how do you get to that point where every small thing, you know, dream about it? Okay, how do you get to that? First of all, by taking your dreams very seriously. Because dreams tell you where you are in the spirit, what to do, and all sorts of things. I'll start by giving you examples. You're praying, let's say you've stagnated somewhere, especially in your finances. You've stagnated or even in your walk with God, and something is not happening. And maybe you're having that scenario where money seems to be falling through your hands. You get money, it seems to be flashing through your hands. It's not having the impact that it's supposed to have. Then you sleep and you start continually dreaming about toilets. Haven't you dreamt those things? How many people have ever dreamt toilets? Or toilets, or you know, you're in a dirty toilet or something like that. And usually they are dirty. They are never clean. I don't know why. The people in dreams are not very clean people. In those dreams. So you start dreaming. Now, what is communicating to you that there is your waste? Now, toilet is where you take your waste. Okay? Now, it's communicating to you. And usually those dreams are recurring. Now, when a dream is recurring and it happens over and over again, it's telling you about a state in your life. It's not about a singular event. It's telling you about a state in your life. Now, those ones usually include things like that, like toilets, when unusual, that is because you're financially stagnated or something is wasting away your money for the most part. Or dreams about going back to school when you're in school. I'm sure all of you have had those dreams. If you haven't, then you are not doing anything in the spirit, because that shows that you're learning. It's actually you're learning in the spirit. And so you go back to school in different areas. And sometimes those dreams manifest themselves in ways that there's an exam, then you arrive late, or you reach there and you read the exam and you don't know anything, and you're completely hangers, or things like that, but usually involving an exam. And now that's just like the tests of life. I'll give you an example, and I've given this before, but I'll give it again. When I was learning how to trust God for finances, I would get into a place and I'm kind of pushed to the wall. I need this money, I need this money, and there's an urgent need, and it's a test. Then somewhere at some stage, I would say, I don't think I'm going to trust God. So I get on the phone and start calling some people, calling this person, the other relative, what. Then I dream when I've arrived late for an exam, I read the exam and I failed, or you know, scenarios like that. And I kept on dreaming it until that same recurring dream. Until one day I decided, no, I'm not going to call anybody, I'm not going to do anything. And then finally, I dreamt when I was graduating. But that meaning that you're graduating does not mean you're graduating in every area. You can be graduating in finance, but in another area you're back to P1. And then you go back and have the same dream of school. Okay, of course, there are people who are, there are interpretations of dreams which I hear on some of these radios, which are so wrong. And so they will say that when you go back to school, it means somebody is bewitching you. No, you're in a school. Okay, remember the dream which you had when we were in a garage? Because it uses metaphors, because in school is where you learn. A garage is where you're repaired, like you're being repaired here. You understand? So it shows things like that. So you have to understand that you are the communication of the spirit towards you. Then you start, when you have those issues of people, especially dreams which are telling you where you're standing in the spirit, okay? You start dreaming when you're fighting. Some of you will dream when somebody is chasing you and you're running but you're not shifting. Have you ever dreamt that? You're running, you're not shifting, but the person is seeming to be catching up with you, and you wake up at that stage. And that is because you're not actually, advancing the way you should. Now, the solution to all this, by the way, in all things, whatever it is, just find time and pray. At least, if you speak in tongues, wonderful. At least 1 hour every day in tongues. You'll see what difference it makes. Big time. So you remove away from those dreams of people chasing you. And, you get to higher dreams of where you start flying. How many people have had dreams where you're flying? Okay, now, flying means you're actually advancing in the spirit. Of course, if you hear other people, they will tell you totally different things. But that's what it means. Your spirit is what? Advancing. It's going higher. Now, when your spirit goes higher, there are certain things you don't fight any longer. Now, there are places I could not go to before. I started consistently praying in tongues every night without fail. There are certain places I could not go to because they would affect me and what. But then when I started having those dreams, then I started dreaming now when I was flying. Now, you know what the scripture says about those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. That's the metaphor it uses, because you mount up with wings like eagles. And I remember for some reason, I would always dream when I was back at school in Namiriango, in a certain area. And in that area, there were so many things which would be there. Sometimes it would be like a dry bones, like a valley of dry bones. And then I arrive there, but the dry bones are dry, but they are alive. It's like they are spirits, but fake spirits. And then I arrive, I come walking like this, then I see the spirits, then I fly in the air. And then the spirits would be trying to look up, look out, if they can jump and get me. But they had to jump, and me, I was flying, you see. And in one case, I remember one which was very, very specific. I flew like this, then at the time, maybe I was a bit yo-yo. You know what I mean by yo-yo. I pray today when I feel like and what. So I go up, then this thing, which is like an animal, almost dead but alive, which of course is a spirit creature. Then it's trying to jump and get me. Then it jumps and stops somewhere, and I'm watching it like this, flying like a bird. Then at some stage, I came down a bit, and it was waiting for me. Then it jumped very high, and it got a piece of my finger like this, and bit a piece of my finger, and I woke up with my finger paining. So then I realized that I started being consistent. Then now I stopped having those dreams, because now I've, this is, it's telling you about an advancement in the spirit, in the room, because all these are places you occupy in the spirit. That's why you see people who go to, there can be churches, which are actually, churches, but they have a way of glorifying the devil, of everything, the devil this, the devil that, the devil that. They keep people in a place where you will never go above that. Now you see, the reason the scripture uses the example of an eagle. You never see an eagle fighting with a crow. You see these crows here? When the crows attack, the eagle just goes high. Eagles have been seen to be as high as 9,000 meters above sea level. There is no bird that can go there. This bird stops here. If it even dared go, that it would faint and come down and die. The air up there is too, it's only eagles that can go there. So I was reading somewhere in a science thing that eagles can fly as far as 9,000 meters above sea level. That is so high. So now what the eagle does is, when it is attacked by these other birds, it just soars higher and higher and higher, and the other birds just give up because they can't survive in that thing. Now that's how it is with our. That's why I say those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. And they go high. And there are certain battles you don't have to fight because you are above them. Now, when you start having those dreams of soaring higher and you continue praying, they will even stop, because now you've gone above certain things. And now the things which used to be a struggle, you're fighting this, you're fighting that, you're breaking this, you're breaking that, there seems to be a struggle whatsoever. And now you enter into another realm. Now that is just, first of all, the words that you listen to, as in the word, especially like the word here, and the prayer, the amount of time you dedicate yourself to actually spending time with God. And you mount up with wings, and there are battles you will not fight at that level, because they will not come to you. Amen? Now, when somebody comes, like somebody comes and says, you know, there is this witchcraft in my family, and these people are bewitching me and what, now we will break it. And actually, even I was led to have a deliverance service for people, especially not even us. We'll call people from outside, because people have all sorts of... I mean, the world is full of witchcraft. People have all sorts of problems with the family witchcraft and what and so on. And there is one way of dealing with it, for us breaking it. But the other way for them is for them to just actually commit themselves to this realm. And then they mount up with that and they do witchcraft. We have all those people doing witchcraft in our family. Every family has them. But there is nothing they can't do. Like, you're so far ahead of them and they know it. And they even are so scared of you. I remember that time the people come and, you know, you can see they are trying to... There's some lady who tried to even... We had an argument with her. And she went to a witch doctor and wanted to... She must have paid. She really wanted me dead. And I had a very terrible night. But I prayed in tongues. Now, that was so long ago. Now, if she did the same, I would not even feel it. Because you occupy a certain, like, I just mount up with wings like an eagle. Okay? And she's operating here at the level of crows. You see? And you are up there. Nobody can't survive up there. Now, then, you have dreams. So a lot of those dreams, which you have like that, are just informing you about your spiritual state. And it's something that you are supposed to, you know, heed. Either a spiritual state of learning, a spiritual state of soaring, like I've said, or a spiritual state of stagnation in the case of waste of toilets, or things like that. Then sometimes you dream, like if you dreams about direction. Now, dogs, unless you really love of a dog, but if you dream dogs, there's a reason why, you know, sometimes the scripture speaks things about something. Now, for the most part, when you dream a dog, it is something which is, what is it? Eh? No. It is something you have to be aware of. Something which presents itself as good, but yet can be bad. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Verse 2, it says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Now, when somebody comes and presents to you something which is supposed to be like a deal or something nice, you know, and looks nice. And I don't know why dreams use dogs for that, but I know it does. Okay? And then you have a dream, and then you pray about it. And then you have a dream of a dog. Especially the dog is like hostile and what. That is telling you something. Yeah? That's what, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. So, for the most part, now, none of these things are givens. You see? Eh? But I just want to revive your seriousness about how you process your dreams, so that everything in your life, nothing in your life takes you by surprise. Everything comes and you know that this is coming. So you go and pray about them, then you dream, have a dream about dogs. Then you know. Now, usually cats, unless you really love of cats, but usually cats is bad words which are being said about you, which are dangerous. If somebody is spoiling your reputation in a way that is dangerous, for the most part, it is represented in a dream by cats. And your dream cats. I remember one time somebody was, there was somebody who had really set out to destroy my reputation, seriously, in areas that I care about. Of course, there are people's I've moved to destroy my reputation in areas I don't care about. There are just very few I care about. And I don't care about reputation, really. I don't even. But this one was in a place where I really care about. And I had a weird dream, which at the time I did not understand. This is some years ago. I dreamt when there was a huge squirrel. Very big squirrel, almost like this size. Big. And it was running. And a cat came chasing it. And the cat wasn't even that big. And the cat came and jumped on the squirrel and destroyed it. And I woke up saying, how can such a small cat destroy a big squirrel? Because by the looks of things, the squirrel had the cat could not have taken down the squirrel, but it did. So I realized later on that somebody was actually really determined to spoil my reputation in certain areas, and that is that cat spirit. And just using words which are very, very dangerous, and people should know, extremely dangerous. Then I'm trying to see some of the most common recurring dreams people usually have. Then, of course, you dreams about a lion. Usually, these are not givens, as I said. Usually, it would mean something dangerous, which can easily happen to you. So if you dream when you encounter the lion, it means that you're going to encounter something really dangerous. I recently had a dream about a lion, and it's not someone that I would want to share. But anyway, something like that. So those are dreams which we'll speak about. Then there are dreams of direction, which are giving you direction. Okay, before I go to that, then there are dreams about vehicles or moving objects, which you know mean an undertaking, like a project you're undertaking, or a ministry, a project, a business, any such thing, you understand? Something that you've put your hands to do will either be presented in some sort of moving object, a bicycle, a motorcycle, a car, sometimes a bus, if it's an undertaking which has so many people. You see, it doesn't choose just like that. If it's a bus, it means it's something which you are supposed to be with so many other people. Or sometimes a plane, which shows that it is, you know, of an international nature, if you see. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm thinking about examples. There was a time when I'd also hit stagnation. I got into a certain comfort and I wasn't progressing the way I should have. Then I had a dream where, and some of you might have had this dream, I was riding a bike, you know, the motorbike, and there were some policemen. Policemen usually mean demons. There were some policemen who let me first tell this one about policemen before I forget. Now, there was a time I was waiting, like, I had a dream, and there was a lot of stagnation in my life. Delay, when you know you're expecting something, then it doesn't happen. And there is delay, then it eventually happens, but not when you expected it. So you expect it this week, it happens next week. You expect it this, you know, stuff like that. Then I had a dream when I was driving somewhere, then I met a policeman. And this is just an example, but usually policemen are is that. Then the policeman stopped me. I remember in the dream I was in a hurry going somewhere but I hadn't broken any law. Then the policeman stopped me and said, can I have a look at your driving permit? You know the way they do. Then I gave it to him. Then he started circling my car to see if there is anything. You know, why did he ask your permit? Then he goes round, then he looks at it here. Then he starts saying, now, put on the indicators. I put them on, they are working. Now I'm getting irritated because I'm in a hurry and I'm seeing my time is up. Then he turns around, then goes the other side, then does what? Then now I'm getting very irritated because I'm saying this man is wasting my time. And the man continues wasting my time. Then I wake up. Then I knew it was the spirit of delay. Okay? That's how it was presented. And usually that's what it is. Like it was some sort of demon which stops you and, you know, wastes your time. So I was saying that. Now, the other one I was talking about, I wanted to say that so that I get out of the issue of the policeman. Now, the other one, I was sort of not moving at the speed I should have moved. Now, you see, if you actually learn how to heed your dream, you can move so fast in your life and you will be shocked by how fast you move. Because everything God communicates to you, and mostly through dreams, mostly through dreams. Because how many of you can stand up and tell me for sure that this week I know God spoke to me this number of times where I heard him speak? But dreams, you have them every day. And they're actually the same. It is your spirit or the spirit of God which are the same, communicating something to you. Okay? Now, so I was driving this motorbike. Then there was some guy who was a thief, whom I noticed was a thief. And he wanted to, you know, jump on me and grab something off me. So the guy comes towards my motorbike. Then I, you know, increase this. But then the thing was making a lot of noise. But it wasn't moving. It wasn't shifting. And the guy was just walking beside me like this. And the thing was moving very slowly. And I was at his mercy. Then I would look at him. Then I tried to stretch. Then the guy is looking at me saying, "What's up?" And the only thing that was increasing was the noise. The speed was remaining the same. Then I woke up. Then I realized that my enemies are moving as fast as I am. And I cannot. So anyway, I'm telling you this. So anything to do with this, vehicles or a moving object is about an understanding. And now that was, I knew what project, okay, actually specifically what part of the ministry, of this ministry for me, that was that the Lord was communicating to me about, that I'm moving too slowly. You know, you can move slowly and encourage the enemy. Because in his mind you had gone, then he sees you're still there. He says, "Hey, you're here." Then he comes for you, yet in actual sense he had, you know, you were supposed to be in flight. So, anything to do. What else? What are the common dreams? Eh? Phones. Aha. A phone, thank you very much. A phone is a connection. Is a connection. Now, when you dream when you've lost, let's say, I'll give you an example. If this is just an example, do not. If let's say you came here and you've been growing in this place, and then you chose for whatever reason, you don't want to be here and you move away, and you lose when you've lost your dream when you've lost your phone, it is communicating to you that there was a connection that you've lost. But a connection can also mean to somebody who is going to help you and so on. And usually that's exactly. Actually, phones almost. It's about something which you are connected to, which was supposed to be of help to you, and it did not. You lost, either you lost it, or you are in the process of losing it. I remember I had such a dream when there was somebody who I was not supposed to connect with. In politics. I was not supposed to connect with that person. I'll just say I'm not supposed to connect with him. But for some reason, I was seeing him in a certain light, a certain positive light. So I had a dream when I met him and I was excited to see him. And he was like, you know, "Oh, what?" Now we started talking. Then we walked. We walked some distance, then reached somewhere and I remembered, I left my phone there. Then I came back. And I don't remember if the phone was still there or not. But what the thing was telling me is this person is going to take you off your connection. You understand? Now, that one. Anything else? Eh? What about what? People who have died. Now, that can... Okay, you speak out loud. Okay, thank you. That's also a good one. But before we go to that, let me first read. There are also some dreams which are from the flesh. Now, but they are very rare. For believers, they are mostly true for people who are non-believers, who have completely fresh dreams, or people who are believers but are so carnal that they have dreams at that level. There's there's a scripture which abuses me, Isaiah 29, verse 8. Let's read it. This talks about actually fresh dreams, which come from the state of your mind. It shall be even as when a hungry man dreams, and look, he eats, but he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or when a thirsty man dreams, and look, he drinks, but he awakes and indeed he is faint, and his soul still craves. So the multitude of all nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. Now here we are in Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So this, now this is talking about you're hungry, then you dream when you're eating. Now that's just from your flesh and some desire. And they say, but you wake up and you're still what? Hungry. After a very nice dream. And usually dreams like that, the food is so good. Eh? And just when you're about to plant in your fork, you wake up. And the Bible has ways of describing things. Now this is a very, very interesting way. It's a form of a metaphor, but it's a fleshly dream where it comes purely from your subconscious. Now, going back to answering your question, he says, what about if you dream people, somebody who died, and in the dream he's alive, and you're seeing him, and you know, whatever. Now that can mean two things. Number one, if the person is in heaven or in glory, he's not dead. There's no such, you know, there's no person who died and who is in heaven who is dead. You understand? So, those dreams happen all the time, where you dream when somebody is telling you something, and I've dreamt when great men of God are telling me something. When you're inquiring about an event, let's say, and you dream when Kenneth Hagin comes to you and tells you, that is not, he's not dead, he's alive, you see. And usually the Lord uses people whom you respect, of whom you've respected, to come and talk to you. Or it can be the Lord speaking, but you're actually hearing the voice of somebody whom you held in very high esteem, who, let's say, who went to be with the Lord. So that's one area. So, like, that's like the Mount Zion, you know. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, let's read that scripture. Because you see, you can confuse the two. And you can tell when somebody is in glory and when they are not. Hebrews 12, I think. We've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Okay, go start from verse, 20. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much had been as bit detaches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Go ahead. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Go ahead. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come. You see, that's where you are. That's where it says, the other side, it says, those who fight against Mount Zion will be like they dream and they wake up and what? And they are hungry. That's flesh. Now, this one is, it says, living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. Okay? Go ahead. To the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. So, you know that you're communicating with somebody who is in glory. So, he's not dead. There is no death in heaven. So that is like, that can be, you know. But then also, it can be a flesh dream. If, let's say, you lost your father, and you are thinking about him and missing him and what, then you're there, you know, if my father was here, this would not have happened, or something like that. Then you dream your father. It could actually be a subconscious dream, a dream from your subconscious, and so on. Otherwise, it is not good at all. It's actually, if somebody is not in glory, and you know the person is not in glory. I've had such a dream. There was a time I was sick, And it was not even a dream. I was in hospital. And I saw my grandfather, who was a witch, and whose things have done a lot to break among our family. And he came. My eyes were closed, but I was awake. And I saw, and I actually saw him, because he died before I was born. And so I even went and asked people who had seen him, how did he look like? Because I saw him. And I know he's not in glory. Okay? And I saw him, and I even asked him, what's your name? And he told me his name. And then I knew that he had come to, as if to cause my death. And I'm telling you, if I wasn't who I am, I would be dead. Because he had come, because I realized it's not just, you know, he had actually. So now that can never be a good thing when somebody, you know, somebody is not in glory, and he comes, he's summoning you to what? To death. And then I remember some doctor was telling me that he was, I remember some doctor who told me he was a guy. So he was making ladies give birth and so on. So there's this lady, she had lost a lot of blood in the process of giving birth. And she started saying that, oh, I can see my mother, I can see my mother. My mother is here holding me. Now that is not good. Now that is not good. Now, what he told her is what saved her life. She was saying in Uganda, Mama uno ana pita vichi. He told her in Uganda, tell your mom to go away, you're not coming now. Then she says, Mama, genda sigenda kujakati. And then the thing. Then the immediately she said that even the pulse came back. She was losing the pulse. You see, eh? Because you see, now dreams, you have to understand it. This is a world. You're going into a world, a certain world there. It's not just a dream. It is a world. You understand? For you, it is presented as a dream because you're here. But it is, you know? Now, when your spirit is developed, when you have a developed spirit, how do you develop your spirit? I told you, speaking tongues mostly, and reading the scriptures. You know? When your spirit is developed, you are in a certain place. Or even if you were even to pass on, you would not understand the vastness of the spirit world. Now, these people who die when they are babies in Christ, real babies in Christ, God has to send angels to come and take them. Otherwise, they can confuse them and take them to hell. The devil has his guys there. They do that a lot. So God has to send angels to come and carry your spirit and take it to, you know, to heaven. So as soon as the person dies, there are angels there waiting. But also demons are there. They can confuse the person and take the person to what? So now, but when your spirit is developed, or they can keep them, but when your spirit is developed, they don't need that. You're already there. You just float through. And you know? So all these are realms. So now people don't understand that in that dream world, you're entering a dream. You think dreams are just dreams. You're entering a certain deep spirit world. And in that place, so many things happen. So many things are sealed in that place. Okay? And they are, when you go there, you're actually there. Some of you have dreamt when you're in a certain place and you wake up and and you're actually there. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't just a dream. It can be just a, but your spirit was there. And you even saw things. And you could even remember everything. And it is so alive and so awake. You'd remember it in exactly the same way you'd remember if you had been there in your flesh. Okay? And sometimes even instructions are sealed there. A lot. I told you here about how my wife dreamt when the devil was telling her when I was in campaigns. 2021. The devil was speaking to her in the voice of Beyonce. Now, that happens a lot in the spirit. Because also here, God will speak to you in the voice of a man of God whom you respect. But it is God. It's not that man of God. But that man of God might be alive or even in glory. But you will hear his voice. But it is God. Or it's the spirit of God speaking to you. Now, so the devil was speaking to you in the voice of Beyonce. And telling her, you come, let's enter a deal. And we shall protect your husband. And, you know, you can continue serving God and so on and blah, blah, blah. And doing what you're doing. But first we just enter our kadir here. So the only way we protect your husband. Now, what people don't know that when if you enter that deal there in the dream, you've entered it, you're gone. That's reality. It was not just a dream. Let me show you something. Go to 1 Kings chapter what? Chapter 1 Kings chapter 3. Start from verse 10. Now this is the story of the Lord appearing to Solomon. When Solomon asked for wisdom. You know the story. So he says, so the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Continue. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked life for your, the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Go ahead. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall there be anyone like you arise after you. Go ahead. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Go ahead. So if you walk in my ways to keep my keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Go ahead. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. Praise the Lord. It had been a what? And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Now here is the thing. You go and you see what Solomon did after he woke up from the dream. Do you see what he did? He sealed the dream with an offering. So you dream when you've got $1 million. And you wake up and it was just a what? You can seal it like Solomon did. Amen? Now, with an offering, he woke up and sealed. Then go to verse 16. Now, you see, from verse 15, it goes straight to verse 16. Now, this one you also know. Two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. You know the story. Even people who are not born again know it. When Solomon executed that wise thing. Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. You know the story. I'm not going to read through it. Now go to verse 21, I think. Go to the end of that chapter. Now all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him. Where did he get it? In the dream. You understand? When God appeared to him, it was sealed in the dream. Then he woke up and the first thing that happened is two harlots came to him. My child. Then he did that thing. Okay, bring a knife. What? Then people said, wow, that was wise. Then says, all Israel feared the king because they knew that the wisdom of God was in him. And the wisdom of God was implanted in a dream. So dreams are not just... God passed it on there. In that dream, he did not come and say, now I've given you wisdom. No, nobody laid hands on him. It all happened in the dream. So it can happen in the dream in the negative. You make a pact with the devil to protect your husband. When I came home, he told me that the devil say that, you know, do a pact to protect. I said, protect me from who? From him. Is the adversary. Now he wants to protect me from himself. I don't need protection from the devil. Anyway, not that she was going to read, but the point is how these dreams go. Go to Job chapter 33. Start from verse 14. So you see, when you start, let me first. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds. Go ahead. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. When they are sealed, he seals their instruction. He gives an instruction. And that doesn't just give it. He seals it. There it is sealed in the dream. And it has happened when you're sleeping. Now, when you understand that the sleeping time is not just for resting, then you know that so many things are supposed to happen at night. And the people who rule the day are the ones who rule the night, who know what to do at night. If you really want to be somebody who has impact during the day, you have to know what happens in the night. It just has to be like that. That's just the way it is. So it says, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Go ahead. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. Go ahead. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Now, there are certain things which happen in your life and catastrophes, things which you do not want. And it is just because you refuse to heed a dream. And God has spoken and has given an instruction. And you saw it in the dream. And you just woke up and you were lazy. Now, what I'm here to tell you today is we have to learn how to be responsible in the spirit. Spiritual responsibility requires that you take every dream seriously. Don't, like, if your spirit is communicating something to you, it's not something to just wake up and say, I dreamt this, what does it mean? Man, then you get your kachaya and what, and you move on. And then something happens to you, and you remember, if I had heeded that dream, and if you learn how to heed the dream all the time, don't take it lightly. God is communicating something. And this is one of his most important cardinal methods of warning you. Don't do that. Don't do this. Pass here what? Then he says he keeps back his soul from the pit. So you would have fallen in a pit, but God, you see, even in the case of Pontius Pilate, because Pilate was in a certain state, God used his wife, and God uses wives a lot. Then the wife came and said, do not have anything to do with that man. With that just man, because I've had so many dreams, I've suffered so many dreams as well. Now, also Pontius Pilate, who was a Roman whatever, somehow the dream comes through and said, you chill, be careful what, how you judge that just man. You see, you remember that story? When the wife says, so all these things are, if you learn how to be responsible. You see, the problem is that we are not responsible. Now, you have a dream, you dream something, you don't even take time to find out what does it mean. Why am I dreaming this? You just wake up and go about your business. And then you live your life like an unbeliever. And God has provided for you a means by which you can avoid so many troubles. So many troubles. Praise the Lord. So, if you learn how to, if you promise yourself that I am not going to take any dream lightly, the more you take them seriously, the more you pursue the meaning of it, and say, what is the meaning of this dream? And then you get the meaning and then do accordingly. Number one, the dreams will become more frequent. Number two, they will become more powerful. And number three, they go into visions and prophesying. Because this, they'll dream dreams, they see visions, and then they what? Prophesy. Then you get into, now you see, when, like somebody says, let's say when they are prophesying, and they say, I am going to your home, and what, you've heard that. Eh? It starts with dreams. Then you take the dream seriously. Then you can actually be, let's say I'm prophesying to him, then I decide to say, okay, now I'm going to your place. And it's almost as if I'm dreaming, but I'm standing. Eh? It's almost like a dream, but I'm actually going there. And then even picking things from there, and saying, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. But it starts by taking the dream seriously and not taking them lightly. Now, what happens if you can't interpret them? It is okay. You have to learn how to interpret them. And I'm going to teach you the easiest way to learn how to interpret. I've tried to give you a bit of this. But usually, Understand this, that the Spirit of God will never give you. There is a cryptic element of the dreams. There's always a cryptic. It's like a puzzle. They are not meant to be very direct. Actually, if you get a dream which is very direct, you know that is not from God. Somebody came and told me that I dreamt when somebody came and stabbed you with a knife in the back. I said, that's from the devil. It can't be that obvious. Like, you know, there are things which are so obvious. So like, when it is so clear cut, there is a problem. You have to think, unless you're a baby. But as you grow a bit older, I mean, in the spiritual things, the dreams are like a puzzle. And the Spirit of God does it on purpose to make them a puzzle, so that He causes you to seek. So that you spend time thinking, what is the meaning of this dream? Now, when you seek and you know the meaning of that dream, you're expanding your spiritual mind. You understand? It's the same way as somebody giving you a number in mathematics. You know, in class, and they give you a number. If X equals what, well, find the value of X. And you have to think. What you're doing is you're expanding your mind. You're sharpening your mind. And saying, if so-and-so lives here and goes at 10 kilometers an hour, then the other lives here and goes at 20 kilometers an hour, and the distance is what? What is, you know, eh? Then now you have to actually start thinking. You see, the minute you see it, you start thinking. Now, that it is sharpening your mind. Now, this cryptic nature of dreams is meant to sharpen your spiritual mind. That's why you have to take time, pray in tongues about it, think about it, do not take it lightly, until you get through and say, now I have understood the meaning of this dream. I have understood what it means. It can take, there are dreams which have taken me 3 months to understand. I'm telling you, I get it, I think about it, I keep on thinking about it until it finally unfolds like a puzzle. And you say, okay, this is what the dream was talking about. So do not just drop it because you've not gotten the meaning in 30 minutes. Keep it. Somewhere, put it somewhere, lock it somewhere, or write it somewhere if you must. Now that way, you're actually learning how to do. You're developing your spiritual mind. And now you'll actually start, you know, finding it a lot easier. But then, so, that's extremely important. But then also, we can ask God for the skill to understand. Remember in the book of Daniel, he said, I asked, the angel came and what? Said, I've come to give you the skill to understand the visions. Because you can see visions and you don't understand. Let's Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time of the end. Go ahead. First go back. Go to verse 17. So he came to near me where I was. This is Gabriel, the angel. And when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Go ahead. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall come. Go to verse 20. Then he goes on to explain to him the dream. But you see, in verse 27, Daniel says, I did not understand. God sent an angel to explain to him the meaning. And he did not understand. But what he go to verse 27. But what he understood is that it was a very bad dream about the end times. Because he was sad. He carried the sadness of the time in which he was talking about. You see, it comes as an allegory. Now, in a dream, if you see darkness, you are somewhere and it is dark. The darkness is not idle. It is there to mean that darkness. So it can't mean something good when you are in a place and it's dark and you are in the city and somehow it is dark and so on. Now, that is an allegoric meaning of something that is going to come which is not good, which is dark. So even in the dream, the moods, the environment, the water, all communicating something to you. And you have to learn how to say, why was the time like this? Why was it very cloudy and very rainy? Why was it this in the dream? If that feature was prominent in the dream. So it says, I, Daniel, fainted and was as sick for days. Imagine he saw these days and he fainted and was sick for days. And yet he wasn't there. But he just saw it and the allegory of these end times was implanted in his spirit. And he felt the pain of it. in the days that he was. Afterwards, I rose and went about the king's business, and I was astonished by the vision. But no one understood it. Even when Angel Gabriel came to explain it to him, he did not understand it. Then now go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21. Yes, while I was speaking in the prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Go ahead. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you the skill to understand. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, give you the skill to what? Say, Lord, give me the skill to understand. Say it. Say, Lord, give me the skill to what? To understand vision. So, to understand dreams. So, it is a skill, and God can give it to you. Daniel, even when the angel explained, he did not understand. Then the angel came and said, now, I have not come to explain. I've come to give you the skill so that you can understand the visions. Now, when you go ahead in Daniel chapter 10, go to Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. You see, in chapter 9, he came to give him the. Now in chapter 10, oh, sorry, I don't need the angel, I understand. Praise the Lord. So now this is where we are. Amen. Do not let anything pass you. That is called spiritual laziness. Because it is going to affect you. Something is going to happen to you. You know, there is carelessness. There are people who are careless, who are careless with money. Have you ever seen people like that? Who you cannot give money which is not theirs. They don't have the discipline. They cannot. And I had a friend of mine who was like that. He was a good guy, you know, but he was so indisciplined with money. I've never seen anybody who had such a big indiscipline with money. Money which was in his heart, pockets. Even if you tell him, Lutuama gives him money to take to Timothy, by the time it arrives, it's not there. Or at least part of it is not there. Like, he couldn't help himself. Like somehow I think his fingers would itch and what. Now there are people who are like that, so indisciplined with money. Now, then, also, now some of you are very indisciplined with spiritual things. You have one dream after another, and you do not pay attention to them. And you just wake up and go about your business. And you don't know that all the walls you hit, bam, bam, you could have avoided it by just listening to what your dreams were telling you. So you suffer this, you suffer that, they kufer you here, they do what. And if you are just needed your dreams, that mufere who took your money, you probably dreamt a dog. Or something like that. Or, you know, things like those. So you just have to heed your dreams. Praise the Lord. Now, that's my message. I do not want people to be irresponsible in the spirit. You know, you have a CV in the spirit which you have to update all the time. Now, I have noticed that the difference between people who actually grow in these things, and grow, by grow I mean grow financially, grow in every area, is those who do not keep on making the same mistakes. You see somebody, got it right. Every time they are getting it right. So in 1 year, you look at the progress somebody has made, and it is immense. But how does somebody get it right all the time? They just listen to the signals of the spirit. And then they learn how to ask. So I'm going to deal with somebody. This person has brought this thing. And it's so easy. You can induce these dreams. It happens all the time. Let's say Anne here comes and tells me there is this deal, there is this what. And it sounds good to my mind. But I want to know Is the Spirit of God involved in it? Is it taking me down a rabbit hole? Am I going to get injured there? Is it the breakthrough? You see, when you're broke, and everything is a breakthrough. Even things which are clearly buffeted. Somebody comes and tells you, gold what, gold this, gold that, and your eyes light up. And you end up in serious trouble. But now you see, if you learn how to say, okay, is this something that I'm supposed to pursue? Is this the path that is out for me? So you get her story properly. You listen to her, then go at night when you are going to sleep. And you just start thinking about it. Take time to think about it. Then think about how it is going to be. She told you we are going to go and subula this, what. Just go ahead thinking the way you would if you were actually going to think about. And go ahead and think about it. Yeah, and then go to sleep. Then you dream when there is a dog. So, yeah. Then you go around and say, I'm not interested. Or something like that. Now, if you do that, you avoid so many issues, because the Spirit of God is there to warn you. If you listen to His warning, there is not a time when He's not there to warn you. You just have to ask, what do you think about this person? I told you my friend was a very beautiful lady was going to get married to, and things were okay. Then one day he took her out for a meal. Then the waitress came and, then she was very rude to the waitress. Then she even told the guy that, I can't stand ugly women. Now the guy said, what? So that's when he started questioning. But meanwhile, the function was almost. That's when he started questioning. Is this somebody I want to be married to? How can somebody say something so mean? So he went for the first time. He stopped looking at other things. Because also people look at other things. Curves and all that. So for the first time he stopped looking at other things and went and asked God. He asked him a simple question. What do you think about this lady? Then he had a dream when she was in a coffin. Ash. You know the way bodies, especially those Wazungu bodies, white, almost ashen and what, she was in a coffin and what. Then he woke up and of course he knew that it is not good. So he woke up and he prayed. He said, now I've already given her my word. And I don't want to break my word. So he prayed, God, create a scenario where we break up without me having to break up my word. And it took just 2 weeks. Then the woman came and said, I think this thing is not shifting. I want time. You know those things, eh? Then he said, so are you trying to break it off? Yeah, I think let me break it off. What? Then the guy inside was saying, thank you, Lord. She has done it herself. Now, you see, but if he hadn't asked, he goes down, goes through the process, and you know how difficult our weddings are. You go through the process, and then you find that you hit miss, man. You hit, you hammer the miss. And the woman, anyway, praise the Lord. So, you have to learn how to ask and expect an answer. Praise the Lord. Expect what? Always when you ask, God will always give you an answer. So when you ask God, what do you think about this business? What do you think about this person? What do you think about what? He's going to give you an answer. If you are ready to listen, praise the Lord. Are you ready to listen? Amy, I've finished my work today. There are people we prayed for jobs. Did you get jobs? Have you gotten a job? Eh? You said you wanted a job by when? End of what? end of this month. Hey, so you are still in what? It's happening. It happened. Anybody else? And what about people? I've told, we are going to have that deliverance thing. Eh? Because people really need deliverance. Because they go to pastors who have no understanding of spiritual things. And then they keep rotating around something which is just a matter of, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you, somebody, not, there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? But there is a difference between power and authority. Who is this? You're suffering from what? Severe, you heavy drinking. Where is he? Let him come. Is he bedridden or something? He's bedridden? Okay. What was I saying? Yes, there's a difference between power and authority. And one day I will explain that to you. Power is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. But authority is determined by somebody's proximity to God. You understand? The closer somebody gets to God, the more authority they have. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody one day asked me that. Somebody who is an unbeliever asked me that. So, how do you get money? I said, God gives it to me. Then he said, how does God give you money? And it was a genuine question. Genuine. So I thought about an answer. I told him, okay, there's this gentleman who had some work he had done, and he was owed quite an amount of money, and it was taking so long to pay him. So he came to me for prayer, and I told him, by the end of this month, you'll have your check. And then it was a March, I remember. And on exactly March 31st, he got his check. Then I told him, then he gave me a certain amount of money. I was explaining to an unbeliever, not to you, this is not for you. Eh? Then, now, that authority to say this is going to happen at this time, it comes because of proximity. The hours I spend before the Lord yield that. If I spend the hours watching movies and what and so on, you say things which don't happen. You even say, in the name of Jesus, what? And nothing happens. So authority comes from proximity. Even in the natural world, there are people who will tell you, you will get that deal. And because you know it's close to power, you know you're going to get, isn't it? So the authority he has is not even in a title, that pastor. No. There are people who don't have any title, but they have more authority than the ministers. When the person tells you that this is going to happen, because he's close to what? To the power source. So now authority here comes from being close to God. So now all those things we are passing, right now come. Mninya Yesu, kenda, kenda. Then they tie people on sticks and what? It's because they don't have authority. Now that's why we are going to have an advertise deliverance service. Now I remember one lady came from those churches where they tie people on stick on trees that to cast out demons, and she was having problems of what they call them spiritual husbands. Every night, almost every night, some spirit would come and make and have sex with her. I was going to say make love, but spirits don't make love. So she was so bothered by it. And because as long as that happened, there is not a single man, not one, who ever got interested in her. Because spiritual things are like that. You wonder why there is this beautiful woman and nobody is ever telling her anything. So, she came to me and They are up there, and I told that. She told me, Bichi Simani, what? She had heard me on radio. So I just told her, hey, Kare, genda techigena kudamu. He said, Musumba tatusavyeko. I said, techigena kudamu. So she left, very unconvinced. She came back 3 weeks later. I told her, has it happened? Techidangam. She kept on trying to attend Watchman because of that, but she's a Uganda person. So she gave up. But it never came back. And she was shocked that I didn't, it's not going to happen. That's the end of it. That's it. It's not going to happen. Another thing is, I didn't even say in the name of Jesus. So if you really want to get to a place of authority, you have to, what I was saying, mount up with wings like an eagle. Those who say, those people who are doing witchcraft in your family and what, they know that you are at a different level. They know, they run, they see you and take off. Now that woman wanted to kill me, when she sees me, she comes and kneels down. Or I wrote a moti. And I look at, because you that's the only way to handle them. But if you stay in their league, remember what Pharaoh told the children of Israel? Go, but don't go far. That's what he wants for you. You stay there, within there, fighting. Now, Chanumbie, and I hammered it. Then 1 week later, it came back. I hammered it. And you're not advancing. You're there hammering. You're rolling with a pig in mud. But then you start seeking the Lord. 1 hour of tongues every day. 1 hour of tongues every day, consistently, and you start soaring, and you have those dreams when you're flying, and now they can't get to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray for this sick guy. He's called who? Gideon. Ulcers. But he's a young man. Where did he learn how to drink like this? Is there anybody else who has ulcers? Here. Okay. Just point your hands to him and let's speak healing upon Gideon in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Gideon. We thank you because your healing power touches him right now in the name of Jesus. Your healing power touches him. Make sure everybody puts, this is a corporate prayer. Rika marazanta ravashoro mazonto roshan ria sataravashila bahrazante le shoro bazonto roshan remazinto roshoro mazonto roshan remazito roshoro. It's not just ulcers. I'm seeing something else, which you don't want to say. Rika mazinto roshoro mazite levashan. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing upon him. Ria lazato remazito roshakla marazonto roshila marazinto roshila barasite le silamo. Ries ekel beshoro mazon toroshala marazin toroshan. Rimozun toroshela marazin. Gideon, the healing power of God touches him in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up Gideon before you and we pray that in accordance to your word, if anyone is sick, we combine our prayers here today and speak healing and health upon his body, upon his blood, every part of him, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ruko brazata la shila morosoto roshalama. Rekazila moshiklo brozito roshakramazonto. Reala sakae boshor mozantele sila morosita. Rebazinto roshan. And now you ulcers, I command you in the name of Jesus. And of Jesus. And I reach out to where he is. I reach out to where he is. And I rebuke you ulcers, and I command you to come out, and every sickness out of his body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.